about to experience the natural sting of college sports here in the next few days. And you know, in a roundabout way, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I'll tell you what I mean in just a second, but it is that time of year where everyone's getting ready to fill out their bracket. Well, the good news for you, you have a chance to win $5,000 if you have the winning bracket. Guys, head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. Entry closes before the first game of tomorrow, where we will be at Stoney's on 11th and Lincoln to watch the second round of the tournament. If you ever wanted to come say hello, take a picture with Phil, maybe have him sign a jersey or a hat or something like that, we're going to be there from 2 to 6. It is going to be a fantastic time. Come say hello. We'd love to meet you. We don't bite. So fill out that bracket at denversports.com/hoops. You're going to fill one out anyway. It doesn't cost anything, so it's literally only upside here. You can't lose. So head to denversports.com/hoops to sign up for our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. And then think about hanging out at Stoney's on 11th and Lincoln tomorrow, where all the games will be on, the drinks will be flowing, the vibes will be extremely high. Phil, how you doing, man?
It's the second day of spring.
It is the second day of spring.
Complain.
It's beautiful.
I cannot complain. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. This is a signature moment of the week. Why?
I'm good looking.
Yo, this guy. It is officially the second half of the show on a Wednesday, on a hump day. So we are officially closer to Friday than we are Monday. The weekend is going to be here. The games are going to be insane. I mean, this weekend.
We're rolling downhill.
We are rolling downhill.
Rolling downhill, baby.
The Colorado State Rams are rolling.
Yeah.
And they were so fun to watch last night. Beating up on an ACC opponent. You know, everyone's, you know, crushing Virginia. Oh, they suck. They suck. They suck. Well, hold on a second. Like, I watched that team win 8 games in a row in the ACC. What, they finished 6th in the ACC? 5th? 4th? No, they finished 3rd behind Duke and North Carolina.
Number 3.
So, were they great last night? Of course not. That's because that is true, but also that's just how great Colorado State was, man. They ended up just beating the brakes off of the Cavaliers.
Look, we all knew and know that Virginia was not a good team when it comes to scoring points, and they're horrendous. And you said it yesterday with the free throws.
Yeah.
All right. But
so
we know that Virginia plays really good defense.
Yep.
Colorado State played really good defense. On top of that, they attacked Virginia. All right. They went at them. Went into the paint, were a little bit more physical, and they were able to get some of those shots to fall when they needed to. But, man, it was an ugly first half, Zach.
It was. Well, not if you had the under, which I did.
Yeah.
That thing was 4-2 at the first TV timeout.
I can see you right now smiling.
Oh, it's hilarious.
This is great.
With every missed shot. And there was so many missed bunnies and layups around the hoop. It just warmed my heart.
27-14. I just love to see it.
Yeah, of course, man. This is Nico Medved after the game.
I tell you what, hard to imagine tonight going any better for us, but I'm just so proud of our guys. The way they've handled the last 48 hours, it's just been incredible. The preparation, the travel, the mentally having to change, you know, from Selection Sunday to now, they've just done a beautiful job, and their mindset is just thankfulness, grateful to be here, playing the greatest tournament in the world. I told the guys today, listen, only 9% of the teams get an at-large bid. So that's pretty special to do that. So let's go play. And we did tonight. And now we're excited about the next one. We get to go on a plane to Charlotte here, and we get ready for Texas on Thursday.
It's really awesome. It's an awesome group to root for. You got multiple Division II transfers, the Cartier kid and the Joel Scott, Nick Clifford, who transfers from CU to CSU. They're just a fun group to root for, and they have a 25-point win against a team that finished 3rd in the ACC, and their best player doesn't even play great, Isaiah Stevens. But here's what I'm talking about. I think we may be in store for the sting of college sports, and it's sort of the natural order of that universe. When you kill it like Nico Medved has, when you come and kill it, and you're at a school like Colorado State in the Mountain West, they are one win away from Nico Medved getting hired by a Power 5 program.
Mm.
I'm just here to tell you. That's the way that this goes. He's easy to root for. He inherited a program that was gosh, what were they? I think they were an 11-win team the year before he got there. Just double check here because I have it in my notes. Yeah, they were 11-21 the previous year, and four of his six seasons, they've won 20 games or more. He already has two tourney appearances, and now with the tourney win, he's won 25 games twice. He has really flipped that program, and you hope when you hire him that he does the stuff that he is doing.
Yeah.
But the downside is that someone else may become calling.
Look, you said he's one game away. No, he's already solidified that. I feel like he will be gone, go somewhere else in a Power 5 conference. Yeah, he's one game away from being in a different location if the Corral State Rams lose against Texas. But if they win, he'll continue to be Corral State's coach for another game.
It's true.
I just think it's from Edved, I think that there's an opportunity that's going to come up for him. He has to take it. He is a really good coach. He deserves the opportunity to take something like that.
Yeah.
Why do you coach, right? Just like you play to try to get to the NBA. You coach because you want to go to a, you know, put yourself and your family in a better financial situation and get an opportunity to take a step up. Although Mountain West has some things going on, man. They're a really, really good conference, and they're tough.
They are tough. And, boy, what a I don't know if I'll go so far and call it a middle finger to the committee, but like that, you know, Colorado State had a gripe that they almost didn't make the tournament. That they were the last team in of 68 teams. They were dead last. And what a way to respond with a 25-point thumping on national TV. So I'm rooting for those guys like crazy.
They're giving the finger. They're still giving the finger, not because they're the last in, though, Zach, but because they put them against Virginia. So you guys feel had the audacity to put us versus Virginia when there was other teams that were better than Virginia that you guys didn't let in?
Yeah.
The audacity.
You know, and they were getting killed. Like, I was listening to Wally Szczerbiak, former, you know, awesome shooter, Deadeye, in the NBA for the longest time. And, where did Wally Szczerbiak play? I think it was Miami of Ohio, maybe, or something like that.
He was dogging them.
He was crushing Virginia.
Him.
Listen to this.
This performance matters by Virginia. I mean, Mountain West completely blew them off the floor. Mountain West, we've been saying, has been completely underseeded. And the way you perform in this tournament, it puts the committee on notice. They made a mistake putting Virginia into the NCAA tournament. Every bracketologist was saying it. They go out and play like this. It's unwatchable basketball the way they played today on national TV. St. John's is sitting there like, we've won 6 out of 7. We're scoring 90 points a game, playing great basketball down the stretch in the Big East. Seton Hall beat Marquette and UConn. They're sitting at home or in the NIT. They should be in this NCAA tournament. Pitt should be in this NCAA tournament.
Or Oklahoma.
Also,
Oklahoma,
the committee made a big mistake by putting this team in the NCAA tournament this year. And it's nothing against Tony Bennett. He's a great national championship winning coach. But his team did not belong on this floor with Colorado State.
I can fully co-sign everything he said, Phil.
He's angry.
He is, and you can tell he's passionate about the process and how they kind of messed it up. What I don't like is Colorado State's not getting enough credit. This has all been about Virginia.
Yeah.
So all you have to do now, though, is go win again.
Number 7, Texas.
Go upset the Longhorns.
Now, watching the game, Virginia game, and now knowing how Texas is, do you like the chances right now, Zach? In the grand scheme of things, like, does Isaiah Stevens needs to pick his game up a little bit more?
You know what? I actually think he's hurt.
Ooh.
I think he hurt his foot in the conference tournament. He doesn't look right. He doesn't have the same burst.
Yeah.
And I think he's a magnet for attention out there, so he still brings incredible value because no matter what he does, everyone's got to pay attention to it from the opposite team. But I think he's hurt. I think he's hurt.
That's going to be an issue then.
It could be. It could be a big issue because if he doesn't play well, you're not beating Texas.
Mm.
So we'll see how it shakes out. We'll see how it shakes out. There is something special brewing with a team here in Denver, but also a player that's a part of that team. And I want to talk about it coming up next. Are there something special brewing right now with one of our teams? And, you know, we could be talking about several different things in Colorado sports right now because, Phil, we got it pretty good, man. We got it pretty good. Now,
yes,
it's not,
we do.
It's not perfect across the board, but
there is.
Got it pretty good right now. And the direction that we're going with this specific conversation is the Denver Nuggets, who went into Minnesota, who they were deadlocked with in the Western Conference standings, and have been looking up at Minnesota for the entirety of this season. They go into Timberwolves territory, walk away with a 115-112 win. Talk about a game that wasn't perfect by any means, but the continuous emergence of Michael Porter Jr. showing up in crunch time this time around.
Uh-oh. We're talking about crunch time with MPJ. I haven't seen that this whole entire year. But it was good to see MPJ on that court when it mattered the most. And he's the reason why we got sparked and got the lead back. He went on a 7-0 run, which then Denver was able to get back in the game. That was the first time that we had to rely on someone like MPJ in crunch time.
Yeah, and to have him show up and, like, we stopped having the conversation around a month ago because this last month and a half for MPJ has just been great.
Yeah.
Again, perfect. No, there's some, clunker or two here and there. But on the whole, this dude has been lights out really since the All-Star break. And we'll talk about those numbers in just a second. But you remember there'd be games where, like, Jokic and Jamal wouldn't play. And it's like, okay, here you go, Michael Porter Jr., like, your opportunity to prove whatever you're out to prove. And it would just be a dud.
Yeah.
This time, it's a game where you're on the road that is actually meaningful, like from a big picture, as meaningful as a regular season game can get in the month of March. And it was him who was bailing out the team in the fourth quarter. I know he's had other big fourth quarters in his career. I just can't remember one as relevant in the regular season as this one.
Yeah, the confidence is there, Zach. That's what it's looking like right now. He's confident in the ability to score. Also, he's been doing a great job this whole entire year with rebounds.
Yeah, he has.
Had a couple of, he gets his two or three assists here and there. But I'm pleased with what MPJ is doing. And if MPJ can continue to keep this up, all right, Jokic is Jokic. And Jamal Murray becomes the Jamal Murray we know when playoffs hit. Zach, they may sweep every team. That's what it looks like.
They're really hard to beat when Michael Porter Jr. is fulfilling his potential or even flirting with it and getting close because, again, like you said, we know in big games what you're going to get from Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. If you can get that third score in addition to steady Eddie Aaron Gordon in big games, and KCP, throw him in there. Look at MPJ, though, since the All-Star break. This is a 14-game sample size, okay? 20 points a game. 7 rebounds a game, 2 assists a game, a steal a game, and a block per game, shooting 44% from 3 and 66% from 2. That is remarkable.
Zach, we're talking about the number 3 option right now. We're talking about the number 3 option, okay? And we've been, before MPJ, we were saying he's the number 4 option. Right now, he is that best Nugget player, other than Jokic, that's out there being consistent every single game since the All-Star break.
Yeah. Is he the second best Nugget since the All-Star break?
Yeah. By far. Hands down, he's the second best. He's the second best. Do you not agree?
It's a conversation. It's a conversation.
If he ain't second, he's the first. He's not third. He is not third
right
now.
Well, he's not first over Jokic.
But you know what's funny is, at times, Jokic has been like, okay, Jokic's not playing well right now, which is hard to say because he's always playing well. But MPJ for 14 games.
I'll give you this.
Since the All-Star break.
He's had games where he's been the best player. He's had games where he's been the best player on the Denver Nuggets over Jokic. And that just happened, I don't know, what was that? That was the, was that the win against Miami when he went for 25? I think that's what I'm thinking of. I mean, there was a win against the Lakers when they went for 25 on the road.
There's been a couple games where Jokic has not been doing well, right? And I feel bad for even saying that. I feel like somebody's going to attack me for saying it.
By his standards.
Yeah, by his standards. Thank you. But MPJ, he's been consistent, man.
Yeah.
Every time you look on that stat sheet, there's more than 20 points.
And it was that game against Miami where Jokic only took 8 shots and scored 12 points, and MPJ led all scorers with 25. No one else even got to pass 16. and their MPJ was scoring, you know, 25 points. So it's these are conversations you have with championship caliber teams. And I'm getting an Avs flashback from the 22 season, because we'd have to come in here and we'd be arguing over who the best player was on that night, because there's so many candidates. They're healthy champagne problem conversations of who do we give the most credit to, because it'd be like, oh, what about a Kadri? Well, Val scored first again. Yeah. But it was like, oh, but Arturi Lehkonen scored. It's like it went like that. And the Nuggets have that same energy right now.
In this case, you didn't answer the question you asked me. Is Jamal Murray still number two, the number two, and we have MPJ as number three, or has MPJ at this time, let's just say at this time, this month,
yes,
has it been MPJ number two?
No, but it feels like it.
Come on now.
Let me explain.
Okay.
No, because Jamal's actually averaged more points since the All-Star break than Michael Porter Jr., and he's averaged more assists too, but Michael Porter Jr.'s emergence, because we're not calloused to the every night nature of it, it actually feels like Michael Porter Jr. has been better than Jamal, and you have a different opinion.
Yeah.
This is my opinion. I think Jamal has been slightly better. We're just so accustomed to Jamal being there almost every single night. When Michael's there every night, it's like, holy crap, he brought his homework again, this dude. Congrats. Like, this guy, and you praise him in front of the class, and the other guy who brings his homework every day is like, but what about me? I do this every day.
Zach, we don't win some of these games if MPJ
doesn't have
a couple of these 20-point games, 26-point games. He even had a 30-point game at one point, 30-something.
Yeah.
And you can't put my man at this point. We know Jamal's your baby. It ain't Jamal yet.
Now,
I will say this. Jamal is dishing that ball out like crazy. Yeah. Something that I haven't seen. And he's getting his friend involved, which is MPJ.
11 assists last night.
He's letting MPJ kind of develop that confidence. That's what it looks like to me. I think Jamal is doing something very smart and getting everybody involved. And we're seeing Jamal dish it out with 11 assists.
11 assists,
He's letting that happen.
I like it. I think these are good, healthy conversations. The fact that we disagree and see it differently is good, because both guys...
6'10", firing on all cylinders, and you don't want to give MPJ the credit? Shame on you.
Listen to you. Goodness. You're trying to flip me on MPJ now. All right. The Nuggets are red hot. CSU wins a tournament game, but none of those teams have the title of the hottest team in their sport, and that is coming up next. Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco. You'll never even get me out on the floor. Couple teams right now in Colorado sports have the juice. The Nuggets, what they're doing. Colorado State, what they're doing.
Bring the juice.
Hey, we're just a few hours away from your CU Buffs. Have a tough follow-up act after what the Rams did last night to Virginia.
Oh, man. But I'm going to go with what you said. You said the Buffs are going to win, too.
I do believe that.
So...
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, as cool as it is for a lot of our teams right now, there's only one team that is the hottest in their sport.
Uh-oh.
And that is the Colorado Avalanche. All right. What these guys are doing right now, they win their seventh straight game, the highest or longest winning streak of the season. They go on a four-game roadie and sweep the whole trip. Capped off with a 4-3 win in St. Louis last night. Last night was so fun, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I had the laptop on the lap. I'm watching the game. I'm flipping around, watching the finish of the Avs. It was just a blast. A lot of different ways we can go in talking about the Avs last night. Where do you want to get started?
First off, let's get started by shouting out to your boy who told you a lie about Casey Mittelstadt.
Yes.
All right, yes. We have to just clear that up, because Casey Mittelstadt has been one of the brightest spots to me you know, being the newcomer. Now, you have Sean Walker. Mm-hmm. And believe me, he's doing some great things, too. But Casey Mittelstadt, the way he's passing it is phenomenal. Big body. He ain't no wussy now.
Yeah. That's what my buddy from Buffalo said. He said, big body plays like a wussy. Used different language, but he said, big body plays like a wussy. No, he's been a perfect fit. And it's amazing, like, the level that we're seeing from Casey Mittelstadt when he's in a competent situation. That wasn't the Sabres. You know what I mean? They're mostly a mess. And it just goes to show that fit is everything. And the additions of Walker and Mittelstadt have been great. But, like, Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness gracious. A hat trick, the seventh of his career. You look up, he's got 37 goals now. And that ties him. That hat trick last night ties him for the fourth most hat tricks in franchise history with seven. It ties him with Peter Forsberg and Owen Nolan for fourth most ever in the history of the franchise. So just a big night for him, big night for the Avs. Feels good right now. Really good energy around that team.
It really does, man. And Mikko's a stud. Mikko's a stud. He has to be consistent at times. A lot of people I've heard, and I can see it, is he's one of those superstars, but he's underrated superstars because he doesn't show up all the time like we would love him to do. But when he does, he packs a punch. A hat trick, the only thing that, you know, would have topped it is if some panties were thrown out there, like for my boy McKinnon. But it was good to see Mikko do that. It was good to see Mittelstadt go out there and score a goal. We're not just top heavy anymore, right? Val is back. Mittelstadt's there. Lekkonen's there with Mittelstadt. So it's evening and balancing things out, which is making it hard for people to beat the Colorado Avalanche at this time.
And now it doesn't matter if you're at Ball Arena or not. I mean, it wasn't long ago where we're, you know, looking at the Avs and saying, like, in a sport where home ice advantage doesn't matter as much, does it actually really matter for this team because they were so Jekyll and Hyde? And now you look, I mean, I'll ask you, has your stomach sort of settled in that department?
Oh, I feel confident now. Every time that the Avalanche step foot on a road journey, it looks like they're going to come out on top. And that's because of the moves that the Colorado Avalanche have done with the depth pieces.
Yeah.
Like Casey Mittelstadt, like Sean Walker, like they're playing good. They're fitting into the system. Okay, you did get Val back. So they're starting to come along and come together at the right time. And they're a scary team, and they are. The Colorado Avs are the team to beat. They're the team to beat right now.
They are, man. They are. They have the juice. They have the horses. They have the experience. They have the coach. You know, the only thing that I question big picture is, do they have the goaltending? And, you know, Anunin did enough. And he did enough when it mattered the most.
Yeah.
You know, in that third period, he stopped all 10 shots that came his way. A lot of rebounds given up. A lot of rebounds. Yeah. And that will hurt you in the playoffs, because that's how goals are scored in the playoffs. It's the mucked up ones in front and the dirty, grimy, greasy goals. I thought he was just okay last night.
I agree with you on that. I thought he was just okay. I was hoping that he would have another performance where he's standing on his head and we could come back here and brag about it. But the good thing about this is that Anunin's not our starting goalie.
Yeah, that's true.
Georgiev is. So if Anunin could come out there and have solid minutes on the ice when he's asked to, between the pipes, then it's a good day. But Georgiev has to be the one that plays well every night.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how this continues to go. They have their next game is on Friday night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They return to Ball Arena where they've been, you know, outstanding, really. And then on Sunday they turn around and play at noon. It's actually kind of cool, and that's a game that I think I'm going to go to this game. My five-year-old son has never been to an Avalanche game, never been to a hockey game. We watch him all the time at home, so that might be another one of those games you record his reaction, like you're going to go to your first ever hockey game.
You're going
to
get him a jersey.
You know, if we go to the game, I'll definitely get him a jersey for his first game. And that game, and I don't know how it's going to work out with the blackout stuff, but it's scheduled to be on TNT in the middle of Sunday afternoon against Pittsburgh at noon. Here we go, man. Here we go. It's a nice little five-game homestand where they have an opportunity to really, like, you know, do they go for it? You know, do they just full send go for the number one overall seed in the Western Conference? I think they're going to do it. I do. I think they're going to do it.
That's in their head. That's in their head. Just like the Denver Nuggets, that was in their head. Why not?
Yeah. Who's got the better shot of finishing with the number one seed? I want to open it up real quick to behind the glass as well. Kamaje and Drew, who's got the better shot to finish with the actual number one seed in the Western Conference, Drew?
I'll go with the Nuggets just because I think the Avs have a little bit stiffer competition with Winnipeg, with Dallas in their own division. Then you look across the Pacific, you got Vancouver who's playing really well. So I think just because there's more competition, I think I got to go with the Nuggets.
Kamaje?
I, too, am going to go with the Nuggets. A lot of it has to do with the fact that Minnesota and OKC, I think, have given this season all that they can give. And I think at some point, the Nuggets kind of gradual climb versus how Minnesota and OKC, they just feel like they're peaking right now. And you can just see the gradual climb where the Nuggets like, hey, we know where we need to be by the first round. And I think that in itself will put the Nuggets right where they need to be. And that's in first place.
Phil?
I three say the Denver Nuggets. I just think that right now, you can't beat them. They've coming off that championship. They're doing some great things. And, yeah, the Colorado Avalanche are coming around. They're on a streak. But it has to go to the Denver Nuggets.
I disagree.
Oh!
I think the Avs, the way that the Avs are rolling right now, I think they're going to finish with the number one seed. And it wouldn't shock me at all if the Nuggets are content with being the two seed and end up throttling down like they did and like they have in the past. And I like Drew's point. You look at the side-by-side competition. I think it's a little tougher of a task on paper right now. But, like, if you're talking about tough tasks and you're the team on paper that has to play the Avs, that's the tough task.
I like that. That's kind of something we were saying about the Colorado State-Virginia thing, right? We're not giving Colorado State enough praise and their flowers. That's exactly the same with Colorado Avs. People are looking at us like, we got to play the Colorado Avalanche, and they're hot. And they are, like I've said before, the team to beat.
All right. We have so much going on here in Colorado sports, and one of the new additions to everything we have going on today was Coach Prime and one of his first press conferences and media availabilities to kick off this new year. We'll hear from Deion Sanders coming up next. Your boy Deion Sanders back in front of a microphone. That's his. I love the fact that Deion Sanders is here in Colorado. It has, like, there aren't many human beings that can just walk into a situation and be like the most interesting thing happening, just because he's here.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, probably never. Coach Prime is the first time I've ever seen something like this crazy. Now, there's probably been other things that have happened in other people's lives or other coaches, but for Coach Prime to come here in Colorado and see what he has done just by his presence alone,
yeah,
it's mind blowing.
Were you starstruck when you met Deion, or no?
You know what? No, because I've met Deion in the NFL. You know,
really?
He had a thing on ESPN. Was like, if you ball, you get the call.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know,
yes,
and
yes.
I balled out a couple games, so I got to talk to Deion. So he knows me a little bit, and then I got to go up there and talk with him. But man, he is a good dude. He is a good dude. Very smart, and like we've talked about Cecil being a slick talker, and the things he says, you have to think about because it's like, wow, it just rolls off the tongue so normal. That's Coach Prime as well. It's like, where does he come up with these things?
I know. And some of it is on the fly. Some of it is just, you know, don't let my confidence, what does he say? Don't let my confidence disturb your insecurities or, you know, he's got that quote and a million others that that's literally trademarked. Well, he was, you know, spring practice is taking place right now. When you're back in Boulder, you're living the life of a buffalo. What is this week like? Is it something that you're dreading, you're excited for? What is it?
Oh, so if you're an older football player, older player, you just kind of want to get through spring. But if you're younger, you can solidify yourself. This is the time for you to get those reps in. Even if you're an older player, new coach, right? Pat Shermer's the new coach. This is the time to mess up, make those mistakes. Dibble-dabble in the bags of tricks with your abilities. You know, try to add another weapon to yourself. This is the time to do that. Because when camp rolls around, you're competing for a spot. Mm. You're competing for that spot, right?
Yeah.
So take this time to learn the playbook. Take this time to make mistakes. Do things you wouldn't do with your body, with the football in your hands, or if you're a defensive end, making that spin move you see on TV. This is the time to do those things.
Well, Deion is looking over this operation that really got overhauled again. There was like the initial overhaul of the old roster, the purge, and brought in the Louis. And now it's like this other wave.
Purge part two.
Yeah, the purge part two. There is a purge two, right?
There is. There's like four of them.
I don't watch. Those are scary.
You start hearing that.
Have you watched it?
I've watched all of them, man.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
I have not sat down and done that yet.
It's scary, Zach.
Yeah.
It's like, if that happens in this world, you better go get something more than the little pistol you have, at your house. You better go get a bazooka.
Yeah. I kind of got something in between a pistol and a bazooka.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is Deion. This is Deion Sanders talking about his son, Shador.
When I speak, I'm not just throwing stuff out of my head. I'm throwing stuff based on knowledge. So let's just get that straight. If Shador would have gone in the draft this year, he probably would have been the second. He wouldn't have been the first quarterback off the board. I think he had the ability, but he probably would have been the second quarterback off the board.
Whoa, Deion.
Oh, the confidence.
Holy
smokes. Do you believe?
I mean, wow. Just kind of. I mean, is he helping Shador there? Is he just speaking his mind? I mean, he's saying that he would have been the number two pick in the draft, essentially.
Look, Jim Harbaugh is helping J.J. McCarthy out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went on a limb and said, hey, he should be picked the first quarterback of the draft.
Yeah.
You know, it's his son. It's Coach Prime's son. But also, Zach, he is a special kid. Now, when he first got here, I'm going to be the one to say, I didn't buy into the hype. You know, I didn't know nothing about Shador.
Yeah. Most people did.
You know?
To your defense.
And you're not going to like me for saying this, and some listeners are not going to like me to say this.
Uh-oh.
But there's some similarities with Shador Sanders and Patrick Mahomes. There are.
Tell me.
The way he stands and stays in the pocket, right, he finds ways to continue to look downfield. That's why he holds onto the ball too long at times, because he's looking downfield. That's hard to do, right, when everybody's going against you. He can still move. I did not know Shador can move as well as he does. Now, yeah, is he a barn burner? No, but he maneuvers really, really well, and he can run if he has to. Very, very smart, and he is very consistent on wherever his target is, pinpointing that target. Now, the strength and throwing ability is not like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But I get that same feeling a little bit with someone like Shador Sanders as Patrick Mahomes. That's just me. You might be kind of, shaking your head. I don't know. But like watching it and watching Patrick Mahomes, especially in college, because we had to watch a lot of film because Coach Cheverini came from Texas Tech.
Right.
So he wanted Cepho to kind of look at what Mahomes is doing.
Yeah. Be like that guy.
Yeah. It's like, dude, he's not Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I see. And you're not saying that Shador is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, but you're saying there's a couple attributes.
Yeah.
Much like I listened to Field Yates this past week. Talking about a couple attributes of Bo Nix that are Drew Brees like that, but I know it hits people's ears the wrong way if they're not paying close enough attention, and just reading the headline there. But when that first game of the year against TCU, when he went out there and threw for 510 yards and four touchdowns, and he was getting the ball out of his hand so quick, and he was reading the whole field. Offensive line didn't help him this past year. I don't know how much Shador will kill the draft process, because J.J. McCarthy has killed the process.
But what do you mean by that? Like, when you mean kill this draft process, J.J. McCarthy just now started to skyrocket back up there as being a top three kind of pick, right?
Yeah.
I think that Shador is better than JJ McCarthy right now. I truly do believe
you
that. Put Shador Sanders on the Michigan Wolverines and see what he does. The passing ability of Shador Sanders, you know? And he's right. Is he better than Caleb Williams? No, not right now. Is there some work for Mr. Sanders to do? Yes. Getting that ball out quicker.
Yeah. But he holds on to it too long. It takes too many sacks.
So tell me this, though. If he changes that and he gets that ball off quicker, then what else?
Yeah, I mean, Phil, he's a first-round draft pick.
No, for sure. But he needs to make him number two or number one in the whole entire draft for next year?
Not take so many sacks. I mean, that was disturbing this past year with just how many sacks he took. I mean, he was like four sacks a game or more. I mean, the guy got sacked 52 times. And how many games did he play? 12?
Yeah, that's not good.
I mean, that's so many. And it wasn't all on the all line. But getting the ball out of his hand quicker, I think taking more profits, you know, small profits instead of looking for chunks. Mm. And then I'm not going to criticize him too much. The kid's a baller.
Yeah.
Shador Sanders is a baller. Mel Kiper said if he came out in this year's class, he would have been a first-round pick. And he comes back next year, he's got a chance to be the number one pick. So... And Deion is proud of his son, good, you know. But the thing is, like, you got to go out and win now. You got to go out and win because you're telling me this kid is one. You're telling me basically he's the best quarterback in college football.
Yeah,
coming back if he'd be the number two draft in this year's class over Heisman Trophy winners and national champions. So you're telling me you got the best quarterback in the country. You look at yourself as the man because you just wrote a book. 21 ways there how to elevate, and even though you finished last in the conference, so you released a book because you know what I mean. So you're the man. Your son is the man.
Yeah,
you got to win games now.
Look, Zach, I understand where you're coming at with that whole winning games part, but I feel like that's more towards Coach Prime himself. Coach Prime has to win games. You tell me, right? When it comes to the Heisman's and winning in the collegiate level and awards. How many of these quarterbacks went on to the NFL and doing the same thing they did in college, right?
You're spot on. I don't care so much about winning for Shador.
Shador, because the NFL Shador's doesn't care about
They don't
wins.
Care.
They want a talented person that they can put and implement in their system.
Pat Mahomes had one winning season.
Thank you.
And he was like 7-6. Yeah. Go look it up.
Yeah.
He had a losing record. And I said this with J.J. McCarthy. My own evaluation with J.J. McCarthy had nothing to do with him winning games.
Okay.
It was trying to see through what translates. Yeah. And going back to Shador killing the draft process, when I say killing the draft process, there's a couple different things. It's doing a dive into the season. Like, if you just look at raw numbers and stuff at J.J. McCarthy, it doesn't tell some big grand story. But when you start to do the dive into the nuance of third down conversions and passer rating on third down and first half passing attempts, removing screen passes. What does that look like? On the move, play breaks down, your completion percentage on, he's got the highest. So you start to peel back the layers when you dive into the film, and then it's the actual process of, oh my God, the kid works his ass off. Oh my God, everyone we talk to
likes him.
Just says this kid impacts everyone around him positively. They can't drag him out of the film room. Oh, look at him up on the whiteboard, and it matches up with what we see out there. Like, Shador has an opportunity to kill that process because he's a worker. Shador's a worker.
That's the process. Now, is Shador going to run a 4-3? No, he's not. Right? Is Shador going to lift the world? No, he doesn't have to. But the processing, this is what Kurt Warner was talking about. It's hard to see what these quarterbacks are doing anymore. But can he process things? Is he smart enough to dump it down when he needs to take that shot? All right, to throw it out of bounds. I want to see Shador throw the ball out, you know, out of bounds if nothing's there, right?
Right.
If he can't make a big play, throw it out of bounds. Right. Live for another day. That's what's going to show me that, okay, he's growing.
What does Prime want to do better this season that he didn't do this past season? I'll play his response for you in 10 seconds.